When we talk about the Day of the Dead, there's the actual celebrations, and then there's what's been done to it over the years. What should it mean to me?
I think it should mean a true celebration of life, because in not only in the Latino world, but in many other cultures as well, they feel that life does go on after the physical life. So to become spirit is part of the transition of who you are. That means that whether you're on earth or wherever you are within a spiritual plane, you are still alive and you are still you. You have a sense of who you are. And so that celebration, that causes us to take a look at those people that we have loved on earth and know that love goes beyond the grave. The holiday really teaches us that, that love goes way beyond the grave, and that we're connected strongly with those who have belonged to us.
Can I ask you this? Because it's another great generality, because not all Chicanos are Catholic. But there, it seems to weave through, especially the family traditions and certainly the kids that I grew up with. But yet it kind of seems at odds with that idea of laughing at death, you know, the Catholic traditions. Is this sort of, how does that fit, I guess?
We like to poke fun because it makes us understand that even though our lives will come to an end and we have this dark side that we really don't know and we really don't understand, we can still celebrate who we were and still take that hilarious part also of our lives with us. It doesn't end at the grave. In other words, when you're remembering someone who's passed away, you're usually remembering funny stories and things that happened that were hilarious. So we remember them even before the person has gone. Yeah. We remember, you know, the good times and the hilarious times. And it's fun to poke fun at something that powerful.
When you talk about the family aspects in a Hispanic household, and I think we think of Asians the same way, multi-generational households, you celebrate, you honor your grandparents, you honor your parents. But it seems like living in an environment like that, whereas even then, the Anglo kids that I knew, very often our grandparents lived in another state, or even by then they were perhaps in a care facility somewhere. Many of my friends didn't interact with their grandparents. And again, other families that weren't Anglo knew their grandparents better. They were more accustomed to the idea of death. It made more sense to them. But it's still scary.
Yes, it is. And as you move along in age, you know, in our age, we begin to see our mortality a little bit better. And unfortunately, sometimes our youngsters who are caught up in violence and in the barrios sometimes see death a little bit earlier than what they should. So death is always staring. I remember numerous funerals I went to as a child because somebody, you know, we have a big family, we have large extended families, and everybody gets into everybody's business. That's the Latino world. They're like, they call metiches. You know, metiches means I'm in your business, whether you like it or not. And I want to know why you changed your hair color or why you're leaving and moving to Denver, you know, and this kind of craziness. So everybody wants to know what everybody else is doing. And so we're like people that look at ourselves all the time. You know, so-and-so is growing up right, or he's not, or he doesn't have any manners. You know, because in the Latino world, it's a taboo to presume to be better than anyone else. That's huge in our world, huge. As a matter of fact, that's one of the stories I'm going to tell, La Llorona, because she presumed to be better than others because she was so beautiful. So in our world, if you do that, you will be kicked out of the house. And, you know, even though you're not physically kicked out, psychologically, and they're not going to give you tamales and stuff, you know, for Christmas and things like that that they'll torture you with because you have presumed to be better than anyone else. So we have a lifespan that we consider, in other words, to be lived in family, and you respond to family members, whether you're hurting or not hurting, or, you know, with those people. And you still stay close to the family. And if you don't, it's this terrible taboo goes over you. Like, so-and-so hasn't seen Nana in a long time. What? You know, oh, now he thinks he's really something because he's over at Harvard. Oh, no, he's too good for us now. Oh, no. You don't want to do that. And so we try to live our lifespans still in connection with family is the way we do it. And I see that every time we celebrate Dia de los Muertos, because we still respect our older people. We really, really do. I see that. And I saw that in Vietnam when I was walking up there in the jungles. I saw the respect that the Vietnamese have for their elderly people. It was really an amazing thing to see. And here, like you said, sometimes that is not the case. Mm-hmm. But I still see Latino people continuing to have that, the respect for their older folks.
So you'll be sharing stories at this celebration of Mesa Arts.
Yeah.
The tradition of storytelling in most cultures is full of analogy, simile, metaphor. How are you supposed to live your life? We'll tell like Psalms in the Bible. Let's tell the nice story, and then we'll get the point across, or we'll scare the bejesus out of somebody, and they won't do the wrong thing in the Old Testament. How much of storytelling in Latino culture is really cautionary tales?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And like any culture that there is, they have their myths, and their legends. And the way that they put it together is usually there to teach you a lesson or to make you stay on the right path. And part of me is also Irish. So my grandfather is an Irishman, Solomon Pope. And I tell you, those folks never run out of stories. Those folks, I mean, hear stories from leprechauns and shift changers and everything else there is to hear. So the world of myth, legend, you know, mythology, all of that is very mixed in with ordinary life. So that sometimes all of a sudden they say, well, let me tell you the story about what happened one time when your uncle was out late at night and he saw the Llorona. This is a story I'm going to tell, the weeping woman. You know, the legendary boogie woman of the Latino world is going to show up at Mesa Arts Center on the 25th, Saturday the 25th. And I will be telling her story. And I tell you, I have learned so much. Layers and layers from that one story that I often teach even to university and college students for hours at a time. Because for one thing, she did something that she shouldn't have done instantly. She violated the Latino taboo. The Latino taboo is you never presume to be better than anyone else. And she thought she was better because of her beauty. And so she thought she was in control of this man. And then all of a sudden she found out, whoa, he found another beautiful woman. Didn't think there was another Barbie around, but there was. Oh, he was Ken, so she was Barbie. And then the children. But he loved the children. So one day, you know, in her great pain, really, over losing him, because everything was about him. It wasn't about her, it was about him. So when she saw that and he loved only the children, she was ambushed, I say ambushed, by her pain. And she takes the children in the traditional legend of the weeping woman, and she throws them in the river and immediately wants them back. So she does not hesitate. She wants them back. And so she haunts, you know, every night. She comes out in her shroud. I'm telling you, we were horrified. And they would tell us this story and say she's looking for her children, and you look like her children. So she's going to pick you up and snatch you away and take you away, and we're never going to find you again. So we believed that until we were teenagers. Then we started staying out till 2-3 in the morning or whatever. But, you know, while we were kids, it was horrifying. And so every child was kept in line because, you know, the Llorona, you had to come home before the sunset and so forth. But I have thought about this story so much. She has taught us so much. And every religion has stories that teach you, because you cannot get into the profound levels of the heart except, I think, through story. We're walking stories, all of us. Every single one of us is a walking story. We just aren't in print, and we don't have pages hanging off our sleeves, you know. But every one of us is a story. So she violated the taboo, but if I could counsel her, because I have a master's in counseling, I would sit her down, whoever she was, Maria or whatever she was, and I would tell her, listen, it's okay that he didn't love you. Or that he, you know, he fell out of love with you, because people fall out of love and they fall in love. It's okay. But it's not okay that you never learned to love yourself and to accept and respect yourself. That was the tragedy of her life. And then there's a song that goes along with her, with the tragedy of the Llorona. It's a very famous song. And part of it says, yesterday I was such a marvel. Yesterday I was such a marvel, and now I am just a shadow of who I was. So her story reminds me of those words, because yesterday, you know, when she was this beautiful, gorgeous woman and had this man under her control, and then she turns into this person whom he doesn't love anymore. And then she turns into a shadow of who she was by becoming this ghost that cries every night and flies around, you know, looking, desperately looking for her children. And so this is one thing this story asks. Can we love ourselves at every phase of our lives? When we are top in our game, when we have three cars in the carport, when we are vice president or president of the corporation, and we're realizing all our ideals, can we love ourselves when that's diminished? When we lost the house on the beachfront and now we're in a smaller place, can we love ourselves when we're at the end of our lives and we're sitting in a life care center and nobody visits us and we're lonely and depressed? That's a big challenge. So can we love ourselves when we are only a shadow of who we are? This is what her story has taught me. And it's something we each one has to answer that question. Can we follow love for ourselves throughout our whole life?
So. You take those kinds of stories, cautionary tales, mm-hmm. or instructional lies, but true to form with popular culture in the United States of America, and the part we glom onto is the skulls and the dark candles and the fun. So it can get lost in the shuffle that we're going to find out more about at Mace Arts.
Yes, there's so much. It's so profound. And the other story I'm going to tell is the red shoes. So the Weeping Woman story goes back 500 years. Can you imagine how beautiful it is to tell a story that lasts 500 years? It goes back to the conquest of Mexico when they said a woman was weeping over the loss of the Mexica Nation, which is the Aztec Nation, which the Spaniards came in 1519 to conquer, you know, the Mexica Nation. And there was blood all over the waterways of Tenochtitlan, which is Mexico City, and they could hear a woman crying for the loss of her children. And they say that was the Llorona, the same one we talk about today. And then my first story was about her. The first story I ever wrote after the dream of my father, Fragile Night, was What La Llorona Knew. And so the boogie woman right away wanted to speak to me. Did I want to talk to her? No. I said, I do not want to speak. I don't want to know anything. You scared me enough. Leave me alone. And so when I turned around and said to her symbolically, what is it like being you? Then she told me. And I wrote What La Llorona Knew. It's contemporary women confronting the ghost of Mexico, and she gives them this special message. So,
you're going to share that?
No, you're going to have to read the book.
Okay. I'll do that.
So anyway, but it's a wonderful story, but it was my first story, and my sister put it in huge paintings because I have a sister who paints and so forth. But The Red Shoes is the other story I'm going to tell at Mesa Arts on Saturday, October the 25th. I'll be talking. It's a story that's over 170 years. It was written in 1845 by Hans Christian Andersen, who is a Danish poet and storyteller. And he wrote Cinderella and The Little Match Girl and Tom Thumb and, you know, all these other wonderful, wonderful stories that Walt Disney has made a lot of money off of. And one of them is The Red Shoes that is huge. I mean, it's a legendary story of this young woman who falls in love with these red shoes. And so the possession becomes an obsession. So what is it that we obsess over? The story is asking us, because what you obsess may be what will destroy you. And Hans Christian Andersen certainly used that very well in his story. So I'm going to tell the story of the red shoes. And Liliana de Leon Torcielo, who is a spectacular dancer, will be dancing both to The Red Shoes and to La Llorona Weeps Tonight. So she will be dancing to my ballad, and she'll be dancing to my story of The Red Shoes. And she is sensational.
Is there a thing you remember most about this celebration when you were a child?
The candles. Mm-hmm. The candles.
Do you know why?
It's real common for there to be candles. That's what I remember from my home. A lot of the, like they call the veladoras, in front of pictures of saints or pictures of loved ones that have gone on, little prayer cards and so forth. But the candles represent this light that never extinguishes, that is, you know, in other words, everyone has this inner light inside of them. And just because they are gone doesn't mean that it is extinguished. It is still there. So that's what the candles remind us of. And every time I see candles, I remember the celebrations that we had. And then they have the pan de muerto. You'll probably see that at the festival, which is like a bread, a wonderful bread, actually, that's made very delicious. And it's got like crossbones, like frosting crossbones. Again, to celebrate that life goes on and that eating and drinking and the things that we consider human go on, but in a different manner in the spiritual world.